Public Policy Polling has just put out another national poll on a variety of questions, ranging from Donald Trump's approval rating right now, the state of things looking ahead to the 2020 election, the Republican tax plan, various significant political figures, the upcoming 2018 election, gun control, and the Yanny Laurel debate, and everything in between. Tom Jensen is the director of Public Policy Polling. He joins us now on the air to break down the numbers. Tom, good to be with you today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So let's run through it all. Before we start kind of going point by point through it, because there's a lot here to cover, what are the kind of the top headline points that you're seeing? What are some of the surprising numbers or new developments that you maybe weren't expecting to see?
Well, I think big picture, the story is sort of continuity. Democrats have an advantage for this year. A big part of why they have an advantage for this year is that voters don't think that the Republican tax plan that they were sort of hitching their hopes to is going to help them. I think maybe the most surprising thing that I found in this poll that was sort of interesting is that Trump voters want Jeff Sessions fired and Clinton voters don't. And I think if we'd had that conversation in January of 2017, that would have been a pretty hard thing to comprehend. And that's sort of reflective of the strange times we live in. And I guess the other thing that I shouldn't be surprised about by this point, but it's still interesting, is that 71% of Trump voters think that the FBI put a spy inside the Trump campaign for president. Only 13% don't believe that. And that's important because it shows the continuing power of the Trump cult, that if he says something, his supporters will just kind of go along with it.
Yeah, so, and I kind of see that kind of playing out throughout this survey here in a number of different places. So let's talk about 2018 with the midterm election coming up. Polls have sort of generally consistently shown Democrats with a lead over Republicans in the generic ballot, and that really gets significant when you start looking at the voters who are particularly excited or enthusiastic about voting. And this survey here kind of shows the same thing, right?
Yeah, we find that Democrats lead the generic congressional ballot 46-40, but then among voters who are very excited to vote this year, that goes up to a 9-point lead at 52-43. And I'll tell you a little bit about how that enthusiasm advantage played itself out in a real election this week. On Tuesday night, Democrats won a state Senate district in Wisconsin that had voted for Donald Trump by 17 points, and the Democrat won it by 2 this week. And we did a poll there last week for was interested in getting involved in that race. And what we found was that the likely electorate for that special election, even though Trump won the district by 17 points, the people who were planning to come out and vote this week only voted for Trump by 3 points. So when the Democrat won by 2 points, it's partially because some Trump people voted Democratic, but it was mostly because Democratic voters just turned out so disproportionately compared to Republicans. And that is a big piece of what's going to determine what happens this fall, is not just whether people who voted for Trump in 2016 sort of vote Democratic this year as a backlash, but maybe even more important, the extent to which Democrats just don't have as much of a drop-off in midterm turnout as Republicans do, could give them a big advantage.
And that's kind of a flip from previous midterms, right? Because we saw that enthusiasm gap favoring Republicans in 2014 and 2010, and that led to kind of big wins for them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think maybe what we're seeing is at the end of the day, it might not be that Republicans are inherently more motivated to vote in midterm elections. It might just be that the party out of power is more motivated to vote in midterm elections. I think that certainly when Obama was president, Democrats didn't have much of a sense of urgency in midterms. Now with Trump as president, they do. And I think for Republicans, to some extent, it's the flip. They really wanted to go out and vote in midterms to stick it to Obama. Now without Obama there, there's maybe not quite as much of a desire to go out and vote in these lesser elections than maybe there was the last couple times around.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is the website if you want more information on this national survey. And we're not going to be able to get to every single number. There's a lot of really interesting stuff here. So head to the website and check out the full survey. And Tom, you mentioned the Republican tax plan as being something that Republicans are kind of hitching their wagon to for campaigning in 2018. I guess the other thing that they're looking at is the state of the economy, with the stock market going up, unemployment rate going down, a lot of kind of positive economic numbers there. Do you see that making any kind of a difference in what people are thinking in terms of are they going to vote, how they're going to vote?
We find that there just aren't that many people who really feel like their personal economic situation's improving. We ask people, are you better or worse off than you were a year ago or about the same? Only 35% of voters said that they're better off than they were a year ago. 26% said they were worse off, and 37% said they're about the same. So really, you see 35% say they're better off, and 63% say they're not better off. So statistics might say about how things are going, if people aren't feeling that at a personal level, there's just not going to be that much of an improvement for Republicans because of those economic numbers. And there's also a big divide in sort of terms of what kinds of people are benefiting and what kinds aren't. We broke this down by whether people own stocks or not, which is something that's about 50-50 across the country. And among people who have stocks, 43% said they're better off, just 16% worse off. But then among the half of the country that don't have stocks, only 27% said they were better off, and there were actually more, 35%, who say they're worse off. So it really does seem to sort of be an economic recovery that's disproportionately benefiting people at the upper end. And I think when you have a recovery like that, it really limits sort of the political credit that Republicans are going to be able to derive from it.
And that's kind of translating into the numbers for 2018. What about 2020? And we're starting to look ahead to the presidential matchup, and there's an enthusiasm gap with Trump supporters not really going to the polls because their guy's not on the ballot this year. That won't be the case in 2020. So where do we stand there?
Well, the magic number for Trump in this poll is sort of 39%. He has a 39% approval rating, and then when we test him in hypothetical matchups against Democrats for 2020, he gets 39 or 40% no matter what Democrat you test against him. The Democrats sort of do better based on their name recognition, but Trump's number does not veer from 39 or 40. Biden leads him 53 to 39. Sanders leads him 49 to 40. Elizabeth Warren leads him 48 to 40. Cory Booker 47 to 39. Kirsten Gillibrand 45 to 39. Kamala Harris 45 to 40. But again, the constant there is that 39 or 40 for Trump. Of course, we should also remember that it often seemed like he was stuck at 39 or 40 in 2016, and then he was able to finally move off of that number when reluctant Republicans came home to support him in the end. But one thing that the Democrats do have going for them is that especially the better-known ones like Biden and Sanders and Warren are already pushing close to 50%, which was something that Hillary Clinton had a really hard time doing.
So what do you think Trump's ceiling is? We've talked about his floor before, like how many or what percentage of Americans are just so in the tank for Donald Trump that they'll support him no matter what. And I think we said somewhere around 30 or 35 there. What do you think his top possible number is?
I think it's probably about that 46% of the vote that he got in 2016. Of course, 46% of the vote happened to be enough to win it for him 2 years ago. Whether 46% would continue to be enough to win it for him in 2020, I'm not sure. I think you'd see possibly people more reluctant to vote for a third party than they were last time around. But there definitely hasn't been much indication that Trump has the ability to get a whole lot past that 46% that he managed to snag last time around.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, and again, you can get all of these numbers and more on their website, which is publicpolicypolling.com. Tom, I'll let you take it from here. What are some of the other interesting numbers that you're seeing from this survey?
Well, certainly a big thing this week has been the continued fights between the Trump administration and the media. And we asked people whether they trusted a list of media outlets more, whether they trusted Trump more. And all the media outlets, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, New York Times, Washington Post. It's basically 53-38, 53-39. People generally trust the media outlets more. So that's definitely a fight that Trump is losing, is the media fight. A big thing last week was Trump talking about pardoning himself. Only 20% of voters think that Trump actually has the right to pardon himself. 65% don't think he has that right. And then when we ask people if he should pardon himself, the numbers are even bleaker for him. Only 13% of voters think Trump should pardon himself. 69% think he shouldn't. There continues to be a lot of pressure about Scott Pruitt and his position in the administration. We found that only 12% of voters have a favorable opinion of Pruitt, who's the EPA administrator. 37% see him unfavorably, and voters by a 19-point margin, 41-22, think that Pruitt should be fired. Pruitt's the former attorney general of Oklahoma, and yesterday, Senator Jim Inhofe, who's quite conservative and from Oklahoma, suggested that Pruitt might need to go, so that was a little surprising to hear. And one other thing that I think is of some local note that we found in this poll, spent a lot of debate in recent weeks over whether LeBron James has supplanted Michael Jordan as the greatest basketball player of all time. Usually I am reluctant to say that people in our polls got a question right or got a question wrong, that I'll put on the Tar Heel hat in this particular case and say that this fortunately is something where Americans got it right. 54% still say Michael Jordan's the best basketball player of all time. Only 14% go for LeBron James. And in these times when we're so divided about so many things, the belief that Michael Jordan is unquestionably the best basketball player ever is something that Democrats, Republicans, and Independents can agree on across the board. So that was a little reassuring to see that at least Americans got that right in a period where perhaps they've gotten some things wrong.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, and again, you can get all the numbers online at publicpolicypolling.com. Tom, before we let you go, leave that Tar Heel hat on. Let's talk Tar Heel baseball with the Heels going up to Omaha for the College World Series. Eight teams in it. UNC is going to be one of the favorites, if not the favorite. How do you think we're going to do?
I think the Tar Heels have a very good chance to go all the way. I really think so much of it is just going to come down to this first game on Saturday. I think whoever wins the UNC-Oregon State game on Saturday is going to end up making it to the finals, because the other side of the bracket is a little weaker. The other two teams in our set of four are Washington State and Mississippi. They were both actually two or three seeds that managed to win regionals and then super regionals on the road, which is a very impressive task. But Oregon State, I think, in many ways looks like the favorite to win the tournament. So if UNC can put them in the loser's bracket on Saturday, I think we're going to be in good shape. And it's a fascinating sort of good versus evil contrast with UNC and Oregon State on Saturday. Oregon State starting pitcher is a convicted child molester. He was never punished by the program for his crimes. It's an amazing contrast between Mike Fox, who suspends players for cuffing, and Pat Casey at Oregon State, who doesn't suspend players for being pedophiles. So I think that anybody who's sort of tuned into that dynamic will be rooting for UNC on Saturday, and hopefully good will triumph.
All right, publicpolicypolling.com for more information on that national survey. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.